of courses. And for those of you that were down at the Haskell event space, you had heard from both of my guests this morning. And we'll go ladies first this morning. And actually, I think Kay Little, your course chronologically is first. You're a Monday course, right? Nice to have you
no,
here
I'm
this morning.
Tuesday, actually.
You're Tuesday? Okay. Well, either way, you're Tuesday, and our other one is Wednesday, so you're still chronologically first. Good morning, Kay Little. How are you doing today?
Good morning. I'm fine.
And you again get the opportunity to bring out one of what I think is one of the key things you do so well, local history. And you spent some time curating the local history museum, fifth floor of the City Hall, and continue this time with some history of some local churches.
Yes. In fact, when I was at the History Museum in 2010, we had an exhibit that in correlation with an exhibit that Price Tower was doing, and we had an exhibit that highlighted the histories of the local churches. And I learned a lot from that. I went around and interviewed a lot of pastors and lead people in churches to get their history, and it was really a lot of fun, and because of that, we wrote a book while I was there about the local history. And what I'm doing is I'm concentrating on the early churches right now and just the history of how churches came to Bartlesville, some of the more interesting facts about some of the churches. Just like I was saying yesterday, we had some outlaws and
and that's something, you know, I mean, okay, I know when you say early churches, are we talking pre-statehood or
some of them would be pre-statehood? Yes.
Okay, so this is some taking it back in history, but we think of church as kind of this nice, calm, quiet place, it doesn't always work that way.
No, it doesn't. We even have one church that had a robbery and then a murder and then an execution, all in one of our early churches. So you have to come to the class to find out which one it was and exactly how that happened. And earlier, when we talked about early churches, I will talk about some of the more modern ones. Like we have one that started in a school during World War II. So I'll talk a little bit about some of the newer ones, but mostly concentrating on the older ones.
Now, so when we talk about the church so much, it's all kinds of things. It's the personalities involved, it's the architecture, it's the structure itself. I assume you've got a wide range of areas that you can kind of draw from and bring us interesting facts.
Yes.
And points.
In fact, we're going to take a tour. I can't remember if it's the fourth or fifth week of the class. We're going to take a tour of some of those churches and look at the architecture and some of the stained glass, and it'll just kind of bring the history to life, I think, to actually see the church.
One of the things that it was in the book, if people have a copy of the Ollie book, some of the stories, for example, a family of Delaware Indians and a handful of pioneer women helped mm-hmm. start the first churches in the county. So
yes, we're going to find out that the Delawares are the ones who actually brought the gospel of Jesus to Washington County.
Wow.
Which is always interesting to me because, you know, as a kid growing up, you hear, well, you're going to send the missionaries out to minister to the Indians and, you know, whatever. But
stereotypes rarely work.
That's right. And so we're going to break some of those.
Well, that's good. Over the course of your time as a local historian, you've had to go here and there and everywhere and look at records and talk to a lot of people to gather all the data.
Yes, and that's fun. I like doing the research. And I learned a lot of this in the 6.5 years I was at the History Museum. And like I said, when we were doing this exhibit, we had to call and talk to the ministers to try to tell them, you know, let them know what we were doing. And once they figured it out, they were good about, you know, talking to me. And it was just fun to go and talk to them, learn their history, go on a tour of their place. You know, it's the scripture from Romans 12 that says we're many members of one body and all members don't have the same function, but we work together. And I saw that in play, in action, mm-hmm. in truth when I did that, and that was really fun.
Getting people to open up with their history. I mean, that we all have things in our history that we're pretty proud of and don't mind talking about.
Yeah.
But when you get some of those other facts like you were talking about, it's kind of, you have to catch somebody in the right mood, I'm sure, to tell them.
Right. And I try to tell people it doesn't matter whether your history is good or bad, it's your history. you know, like just with all the conflict that's going on in the country, which we're not going to talk about, but, you know, it's just, it's history.
You're welcome to come back on another morning.
We can have I know. You know, it's, we need to know that. We need to know what actually happened. And doesn't mean we're glorifying the bad. We just are telling it.
And yeah. And I'm sorry, a pet phrase of mine, human beings were involved.
Exactly. That's why we have so many denominations and so many churches.
I think that it's an opportunity to make history fun, particularly at the local level. Many of the structures that are still around, or at least maybe on the same site of the
right.
of the current structure. So you get the opportunity to kind of really take us behind the scenes on so many happenings.
That's what I hope to do. And that's my goal, is to make history fun. I want all ages to be able to see that history can be fun to study.
Any textbook materials or anything you're going to be using?
Well, no, but I do have a book called A Spiritual Journey Through History, and it's the book that we put together in 2010 when I was at the museum. And I have a few copies for sale for anybody who wants it, but we won't need a textbook necessarily.
If there is a text material, I think, you know, one nice thing about the OLLI series, of course, is, you know, no textbook, no homework,
right.
no grades. Just come, enjoy, learn, and walk home with the information. But we all tend to refer to some kind of materials, and so people are looking, I think, for a handout,
right.
for something that they can take along with them and,
yes.
and remember later.
That's true, yes.
How long did it take you to put this one all together? I mean...
I can't remember how long it took us, but it was several months.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, the exhibit was in 2010, and we put this book together, and it was 2011 before it was printed. So it took a year just to get the book all done and printed and proofread, and I still find mistakes in it, even though we proofread.
How many times, the brain sees what it expects to see.
Exactly. That's right.
I can tell by the tone of your voice, the smile on your face, you've had a lot of fun assembling this one.
Yes.
And to me, part of the joy of the OLLI classes, I think with every one of them, is, yes, you're there to present some material, but somewhere along the line, somebody's going to bring out some point or a question somewhere along the line that adds to it. It's the class discussion that makes it fun.
Yes, and that's one reason why I like giving history classes to senior adults, because so many of them have lived through a lot of it and they can add to it. I learn something every time I give a presentation, no matter to who. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Your course will be at the library?
Yes, on Tuesday mornings.
And people can stop by, and Tuesday mornings, starting a week from tomorrow, 10 to noon.
Yes.
It's not too late to sign up.
Right.
Probably the easiest way, pick up one of these orange books where it says OLLI at OSU, Stillwater, Tulsa, Bartlesville, Oklahoma City, UConn, the Osher Lifelong Learning Institute. Pick up the spring 2016 books if you find anything else, you don't have the right one. But the registration materials are prominent in the book. So.
Yes. Very good.
And again, if you're not a currently enrolled member, $50 will cover your first class and get you in the system. As Ann Cleary is a favorite of saying, enroll at the $150 level,
yes.
and sign up for all the classes you can fit in your schedule.
And also, I had forgotten until Sally said it yesterday, that $150 also means you can go to those other towns,
mm-hmm.
and take some of their classes if you'd like.
So
and we have people locally that take every single class here every time.
It was about a year ago, there was a couple that spent their day for a morning and afternoon in Stillwater with courses and made it just in time back to spend some time with me enjoying some films. So,
cool.
Yeah, it was just, people that have the inclination to get into these courses, you and I have both seen this. People will sign up for one, and then the next semester they'll be back for three or
yes.
four.
Yes.
So it is Osher Lifelong Learning Courses, and featuring the Tuesday morning course, Prairie Spirit, History of the Bartlesville Churches. Kay Little, local historian and educator, will be with us on that one, and looking forward to some fun times and some great stories.
Thank you.
We'll take a break and shift a little bit from local history to, items that were in the news and making history on the Supreme Court level when we continue in just a moment.
Bartlesville First Baptist Church's focus on the life-changing gospel of Jesus Christ. As we learn the God's Word, love God's people, and live God's mission, this vision will continue to thrive until He comes. We are committed to vibrant worship, relevant Bible teaching, genuine community, and the urgent spreading of this gospel. We are resolved. We will not be silent. Come worship with us at First Baptist Church, 405 South Cherokee in Bartlesville. Services are 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. each Sunday.
AM 1400 and continuing our time on a community connection this morning. And I believe a relatively new instructor for the Osher Lifelong Learning Courses. We'll find out more. Dwight Short, local CPA, spending some time with us this morning. Good morning, Dwight.
Good morning. Good to be here. Thank you for having me.
Is this the first OLLI course you've taught, or have
yes,
I missed one?
Yes, it is. In fact, I'm a recent arrival in Bartlesville. I lived in Houston, Texas for 36 years, and I got sick. And my doctor, who's my old college roommate, moved me up here, and I'm doing better, and I'm ready to get back and resume a normal life again. And so as part of that, I was asked to present this course, and I'm glad to be able to do it.
Okay. Well, so I think there's going to be some interesting stories about that old college roommate thing, but we'll leave those for another morning. your course sounds interesting, and you and I spent a little bit of time talking yesterday after the presentation. The Courage of Their Convictions, subtitled 16 Americans Who Fought Their Way to the U.S. Supreme Court. And these are things that really are issues of importance and have made our country what it is, and in many cases who we are today.
Exactly. A lot of these cases that we're going to go over are things that that shape the cultural and political landscape of much of the last 60 years of this country. And we're not going back to discuss every single important case that's ever been decided by the Supreme Court, because that would just be far too large a scope for what we're trying to do here. But something that affects our recent political atmosphere and culture is what we're getting into.
And so some of the, I'll say, landmark decisions that were in our American history book back in grade school, high school, Brown versus Board of Education, Dred Scott, while you may mention them, they're probably not going to be the focus.
Yeah, that's right. Of course, those are big decisions, and they form us politically and culturally as well, but they're not the main focus.
And I think you kind of, remembering of yesterday, you kind of summarized three basic areas as far as the decisions and types of cases you're going to be talking about.
Yeah, and this is my personal philosophy of looking at it, and I'll be grateful as we get into the discussion in the classes as to see what other people think about that, but I believe that there are three major categories of primarily where Supreme Court cases and even government in general fall into. And one is, who is a person? And what I mean by that is who has the full rights of citizenship? Who is a co-owner of the country?
Those are issues that the Continental Congress was dealing with at the Declaration.
Absolutely,
let alone in writing the Constitution.
That's right. Those are fundamental issues, and that has evolved over the 240 years that we've been a nation. At first, it was white men who were property owners, and people might think that was very restrictive. But you have to remember, at the time in 1776, there was no common man in the history of the world who had ever been free. So somebody had to be free first, and it was those common white farmers and settlers and merchants and tradesmen who were free first. But the promise of America has to apply to everybody. At least in my view, it does, or we will fail. And so as time has evolved, well, who's free after that? Well, African Americans are, women are, people who are different sexually are, people who of different creeds and religions and beliefs are, and that has grown and evolved over the years. My view about what I have said to people over the years is that freedom is a journey, and that journey involves that very first premise of who's a person, who counts, who matters.
Jefferson and Adams discussed that at length.
At length. It's important. Thomas Paine discussed that. Mm-hmm. The Federalist Papers discussed that. It is a founding principle. Let me correct that wording. It's more of a concept of philosophy rather than principle. But they're all related words. Mm-hmm. I would accept a categorization of any of those as descriptive there. But the second thing is given who is a citizen, who is a person, the second thing, and this is also, this is so much and maybe even uniquely American, and that is, what is fair? How do we treat each other? How does the government treat us? How do we treat the government and each other? What is fair? And you think that's a fairly simple concept, but your idea of fair and my idea of fair and Kay's idea of fair, I will guarantee you, if we sit down and talk for a while about anything, our views about fair will be, in some ways, fundamentally different.
Well, just
yet, as Americans, we also have fundamental commonality. So it's an interesting dynamic there.
I know in high school or grade school, somewhere along the line, we learned that, the Constitution was there to limit the federal government from doing this and that. But we all will disagree on where those limits stand.
Absolutely. And that is where courts come into play, because that's the third, pillar of my approach on this is that given given who's a person and given what's fair, then who decides one and two? Who decides that? Well, in our society, much of that decision-making process is done by the court system. And the final decider is the Supreme Court. Now, that itself is a concept that evolved in the early part of our country's founding, and we have court cases that established that indeed it was the court who made those calls. And we had, I think, one of the great Americans of the history of this country, John Marshall, who was John Marshall wasn't the first Supreme Court justice. I think he was the second. John Jay was the first. But Marshall was far and away the most important Supreme Court justice, for he established what the court's role in our republic is. And so he and his courts decided early on in this country that we make that call. But as we'll get into the course, we'll be asking the question, well, who should make that call? Should the Supreme Court make the call? Should the national legislature make that call? Should the people themselves, through their private interactions, make that call?
And probably in some cases, each answer is correct and each answer is wrong.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so what we'll probably find out is that on a case-by-case basis, we make that call.
Well, this is going to be a fascinating discussion, particularly in the presidential election year. Again, we all know one of the, at least I'll say in my opinion, one of the most important powers of any chief executive is the power to appoint someone to a lifetime job on the Supreme Court.
Absolutely. We think that, I would say that in this next, the next president should appoint, I would say, at least three Supreme Court justices, at least, and maybe more, because we've got an old court now. And so, whether we have a Democrat or a Republican, there are strikingly different philosophies on the role of government in our society, and indeed how people should conduct their personal affairs with each other. There are very different philosophies at stake, and that will be reflected in whatever the next court turns out to be.
Your course will be at the Eastside Branch Arvest Bank Wednesday morning. Is it 10 o'clock?
Yes.
And again, just because I think it's important, any text materials that people should become familiar with before?
Well, yes, we are going to have a book. It's the title of the book is The Courage of Their Convictions by Peter Irons. The subtitle is 16 Americans Who Fought Their Way to the Supreme Court. The book will be there at the first class, and you need to buy it. I think it's $8. And so that text will be available, and it's a very good text. And so I look forward to doing this. I look forward to meeting some new people and talking about these things. And everybody's got their view about this, and I really look forward to seeing what everybody's view is.
Okay, well, we'll try not to make a Supreme Court case about those.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Again, our two instructors for the Osher Lifelong Learning courses at OSU in Bartlesville, Dwight Short and Kay Little, with us this morning on AM 1400 K1. Get your textbook, get the book to sign up, or just go online at OSU. You will find the rest of it on their website. News is next.
ONN News, I'm Randy Renner. State lawmakers get back to work today with a lot of problems to solve. Governor